Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in on this snowy and icy Thursday. I almost said Tuesday, all confused here on the week. But some weather yesterday, some more weather last night. The ice made things a little tricky, but we're here. And Indiana had an early game last night, 5:30 tip-off, which was different, but kind of fitting with the weather. I think things slowed down for most people yesterday with a lot of places closing and works shuttering early. So maybe you had a chance in a hectic day to actually get some time to watch Indiana yesterday. And it started off like normal, a very slow start, especially offensively for this Indiana team. It did not look good for a great part of the game. But thanks to Al Durham, especially, thanks as well to Armand Franklin, of course, Indiana avoided what really would have been an atrocious loss. And to follow up an Iowa win, the second Iowa win of the season, with a loss to a team at the level of Northwestern, no disrespect, would just kind of even further, I think, demoralize a lot of people, players, fans, who knows who else. But Indiana avoids that. Indiana gets the win in double overtime. If there's one real positive, I mean, you could pick some things out with individual players, obviously, but if there's one real positive for the team, it's that they had the grit to stay together about everything that could possibly go wrong, shooting the ball just absolutely dismal. Even Trace Jackson Davis went out momentarily at the end of the game in a scary moment for IU fans, I know, but Indiana had the grit to stay together, get it done, and escape with a victory. They had some really big shots down the line to even stay in the game, to force the overtime, to force the double overtime. And for Indiana to stay through all that and actually get to the victor side of things, that's something to think about. But there were so many ugly moments in the game. For a minute, it was just like, are we really watching more bad basketball, another overtime period, which are supposed to be exciting and fun and everything else, but man, it was more ugly basketball at times. But again, the bright spots for Indiana: Armand Franklin, Al Durham, Jerome Hunter back last night. He had one big shot, one big three-pointer for the Indiana team. And of course, another negative, but this can be a good thing as well: Trace Jackson Davis did not dominate. He did not play extremely well. He did have 10 points. He did have 14 rebounds, and for most people, that would be a tremendous output for them. But we know Trace Jackson Davis has been huge game in and game out. He's put this team on his shoulders, and he did not dominate last night. And for Indiana to still find a way to win despite everything stacked against them, some of it their own doing, I think, still a win that Indiana fans will take and be happy with, and it's important. As you look back on things, you know, the committee is going to look at the score and the records and things like that. They're not going to look back at the first half or this period of the game where Indiana shot this or did that. Ultimately, last night, Indiana got the job done, no matter how ugly it was at times. And it's another win on that win total that we always talk about in the Big Ten this time of year, as Indiana inches closer to being in a better position for the NCAA tournament. Now, and we've got plenty to talk about from last night, but just for a moment, think ahead to Ohio State this weekend. We know Ohio State is surging. They are playing really well. They are on a streak. They were in Andy Bottom's bracketology earlier this week as a number one seed, Michigan and Ohio State. That doesn't mean that's going to hold true. That doesn't mean they'll be a 1, 2, or 3 seed at this point. All sorts of things can happen, but a win this weekend for Indiana over Ohio State And I really feel like this team is sitting in a different position. They're not safe completely, but they're sitting in a much different position than they were before the Iowa game. And if you can string together three wins in a row, if you can win two in a week with a win last night at Northwestern and a win against Ohio State this weekend, Indiana could really be playing with some momentum. And I think that's another thing. Indiana fans want to see some momentum, some building on things from game to game. You don't have to be perfect. You're not going to win them all. There's going to be some mistakes. Players aren't going to shoot it well. Senior guards, we know at times, aren't going to play well. That's just part of this team. But let's see some consistent momentum in building to the end of the season and the Big Ten tournament and ultimately March Madness for this program. So Indiana escapes last night. Very fortunate in many ways, but again, ultimately they get the win in conference play on the road, and that truly is all that matters. And now they can think ahead to Ohio State coming up, again, very quickly this weekend. Ohio State will be a big challenge for this Indiana team. Glad to have you with us here on this Thursday program. A quick look at our show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Coming up here in just a few moments, we'll have a few Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. More on last night. We'll talk about Yogi Ferrell. He's getting an opportunity with an NBA team in the G League, another one. So he's staying alive, at least in professional basketball here in the United States. A look last night, it was a triple header in the Big Ten Conference. No real surprising results, but we'll look at those coming up in just a moment, and we'll do a few other things as well here in just a bit. Later in the show, Alex Bozich is with us today for another extended conversation on IU basketball. We will start with last night's game. We'll go through all the details, what went right, what went wrong. We'll even look ahead to Ohio State when Alex is with us today as well. And I'm sure we'll get into some other general things about this team, the NCAA tournament resume, the Big Ten Conference as a whole, and much more. So stay with us for that coming up a little bit later in the program today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And before we do that, just a reminder, tonight at 6 o'clock, actually a few programming reminders for tonight. At 6 o'clock, still on, we have our girls' regional preview show. That is a focus on Silver Creek and Lanesville. And in that program tonight, you'll hear from Scott Shane, the Silver Creek coach. You'll also hear from a couple. They've got many, but from a couple of the key players for the Lady Dragons that have had outstanding seasons this year. Alana Striverson will join the program, as will Jacqueline Emily a little bit later tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also talk with Angie Hinton out at Lanesville and a couple of her players as well as we preview the regionals this weekend for the two local girls teams that are still alive. Again, that's at 6 o'clock tonight coming up here on the Big X. That can also be streamed and is available through all of our channels as well. So make sure you tune in if you're a fan of girls basketball, a supporter of those two high schools specifically. We'll get you all set for what's ahead this weekend for them. Also, we were supposed to be over in Louisville tonight after the girls preview show, but I got word just before we came on the air from Tim Hayworth, the coach at Mayo, that the Manual Mayo game has been postponed because of weather. And about everything that I'm seeing that was supposed to be on the docket tonight, whether it's Indiana or Louisville, high school-wise, has been postponed or canceled because of this ice and snow that we have. Although, things will get better, I would think, as the day goes on, taking the safe route. So that means we have no high school broadcast tonight. I was looking forward to doing something different. We haven't done a game in Louisville for many years. Mayo Manual, big game. Mayo doesn't have all their players right now. They're going to be really good. Caleb Glenn is a guy that probably people on this show would be most interested in. We had Coach Hayworth on back a few weeks, month ago or so, to talk about him. He's getting interest from Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky. Just a sophomore, played varsity for Ballard in eighth grade, then went to Mayo in ninth grade. He's really good. He's the real deal, and he's going to be a player that Indiana, lots of schools are heavily after here in the coming years as well. All right, our headlines for today, more on the game last night. Just a quick look at the box score last night. Al Durham, 24 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from three-point land, 11 of 12 from the free throw line. Remember that stat, 11 of 12 from the free throw line for Durham. Just an all-around good game for him, and he played 40 minutes in the contest last night. Armaan Franklin played 44 minutes. He was almost equally as good, 23 points on 6 of 15 shooting. So he didn't shoot it as well overall as Durham did, but still very good. 4 of 8 from the three-point stripe. And again, remember this, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So Durham and Franklin combined missed just one free throw, and they shot 20 of them. But a really good game once again for Armaan Franklin. But it was Al Durham's time to hit some big shots. He had the one that, if you think about it, would have won the game likely. And I didn't realize it when he first shot it. His foot was on the line and really, I don't know, inside, but it was well on the line. It wasn't just like it was a tiptoe or anything like that. But that's one of those things you think, gosh, but in the heat of the moment, you get the shot off, it goes in. Who cares what it is, but a long two, not necessarily what you want in that situation last night. But again, Al Durham and Armaan Franklin were absolutely fantastic last night as well. Total for Indiana, free throw shooting really continues to be some issues for this team as you look down the box score. I mean, just some dismal shooting at the charity stripe for guys. And those are things in a game like that, an overtime game, when you're already not shooting it great from the field, you got to take advantage of something. And Indiana just couldn't do it last night with free throws outside of Durham and Franklin. They really saved the day, especially Armaan Franklin. Did he have maybe all seven or made seven free throws in that first overtime period? He had a huge overtime for Indiana, which really propelled them to even stay alive in the contest last night. Flip side of that, I mentioned earlier, Jackson Davis, 10 points, 14 rebounds, 5 of 11 shooting. Not a bad game, but it's not the dominant Trace Jackson Davis that we're used to seeing. The rebounds were about on par, but you'd like to see him with 20 points, 25 points for this Indiana team. So it's a good note that Indiana able to win. That's just another thing stacked against them last night. Jackson Davis was double-teamed. He saw a lot on defense, as he's seen all year. He had to go out of the overtime for just a little bit because he banged knees with someone. He had about everything thrown at him last night that's humanly possible in a rough and tough Big Ten basketball game, but still was able to finish with a double-double at 10 and 14. The negatives, though, for this Indiana team last night, really one player specifically comes to mind, and it's Rob Phinisee. What is he doing? What's he getting done? He had 2 points. He was 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from the three-point line, 2 of 5 from the free throw line. He did have 5 assists in the contest and only 1 turnover. He racked up 4 fouls as well fairly quick. Played 32 minutes, but gosh, he's up and down, and I'll be honest, and I think we all know this, that watch and pay attention. Rob Phinisee, for the year we expected him to have, the leadership role we expected him to play, the consistency is really, I think, the key word with him in that position, and the experience and starting assignments that he's had over the years, just haven't seen it this year. And it's been a big letdown for Indiana. And he could be, I thought he would be such a valuable piece to this team this season, but he has not been. He's had a couple big shots. He had a big shot against Iowa. Yes, I mean, I'm not just crapping on him completely, but Rob Phinisee continues to be a real disappointment for this team as well. Offensively, last night, Indiana just started off dismal, and it looked like, and I know I've used that word a lot here this opening segment, but I don't know how else to describe some of the things that this Indiana team does when it comes to their shooting abilities. Hard to believe that they're even in a game. It doesn't matter if it's Iowa or Northwestern, home or away, with how this team opens the game sometime. It's just frustrating. It's amazing to watch. And it's hard to believe in some of these contests that they come back and make it close, or they come back and actually win the ball game with how they shoot. But again, last night, just some bad offense from this team. And again, slow starts, it's kind of been a signature of this team, not just this season, but in recent years. And boy, slow starts are tough to overcome in a Big Ten conference that's as good as it is. Next headline, moving on from last night's game, Yogi Ferrell, he's staying alive in the NBA, kind of, with the Salt Lake City Stars. They're the G League affiliate of the Utah Jazz. So Yogi trying to keep that NBA career, that professional basketball career here in the States going. He continues to find spots. We'll see if he ultimately gets called up to the Utah Jazz or not. But nonetheless, I think Yogi still has lots of years of good basketball where he gets paid ahead of him, no matter what happens with this latest stop in Salt Lake. If he goes overseas to Europe, I know he's maybe a little undersized, but with what he's been able to do and string together an NBA career here, I think there's no question that he can make some money in a pretty good league overseas, talking or playing professional basketball as well. And one other thing, last night, the Big Ten Conference, a triple header. Didn't get a chance to watch all three games. Of course, Indiana got the triple header, started with a 79-76 win in double OT last night. Iowa, interesting, they get back to winning ways at home. They win by 13 points, 79-66 over Rutgers last night. So for an Iowa team that had lost four or five going into the game last night, a big win for them at home, and Rutgers is not bad. And then in the nightcap, no surprise, Wisconsin a winner over Nebraska, 61-48. I caught a little bit of that game, but my goodness, Nebraska has been through the ringer this year when it comes to COVID-19. They were out forever. It didn't seem like they were ever going to come back and play games. They, I think, still feeling the impacts of it from a conditioning standpoint and just trying to get everybody back healthy to where they were before the COVID-19 outbreak. And the tough thing for them is they've got so many missed games, and they're going to make up some of them, but it just compacts their schedule even more, and it's already compacted enough between here and the end of the regular conference season. There are some somewhat windows built in, which helps, but when you miss as much basketball as Nebraska did, boy, tough. There's no question about it. Tonight, a couple interesting Big Ten games tonight. Actually, one interesting Big Ten game tonight, Purdue and Minnesota. And remember that game, the original game there, just played a week and a half or so ago. Minnesota went to Purdue and beat the Boilermakers. Tonight, the game is up in Minneapolis. And the other big game that should have been on the schedule tonight, Illinois is supposed to play at Michigan. But again, the Wolverines still on a pause. Their entire athletic director department continues to be on a pause at this time because of COVID-19 and some concerns on the campus and in conjunction with the state of Michigan and their health department. So that game is shelved, but boy, that would have been a good one. Illinois playing well. They've kind of taken over Iowa's position as number two to Michigan right now in the Big Ten, and who knows what the Wolverines look like when they do return from break. And when that actually happens, they haven't been practicing, so that will be interesting to see. But that would have been tonight a big Thursday night battle for supremacy in the Big Ten Conference. But Michigan, despite their pause, if they can come back and play some decent basketball, they're in a good position as far as the conference goes and their record and their chance to win it this year. But again, who knows how they will bounce back from this pause that they've had. Those are Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We will head to a commercial break and come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall as we talk IU basketball. Plenty to talk about. A double overtime win last night at Northwestern. Some good things, lots of questionable things, some good performances, some bad performances as well. We'll talk about all of those next with Alex. And a reminder, our girls' regional preview show tonight on the Big X. It starts at 6 o'clock. We'll feature Silver Creek and Lanesville, the two local teams still alive in the high school girls' basketball state tournament. Back with more, Alex Bozich. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall always joins. We talk IU basketball and related topics. And Alex, I thought you brought some really great points to the show last Thursday that have come back up since then. And as I'm watching the game unfold last night, I was thinking about our conversation from a week ago where Indiana's problems, it's just reoccurring. It's the same thing over and over again. And you hate to be negative on the day after a win that really helps Indiana's chances for the NCAA tournament as far as another win in the conference standings goes. And to win on the road at any time in college hoops, especially the Big Ten, is good. But I'm really not even sure how Indiana, with how they shot it and played last night across the board, was in a position to force the game to overtime or win the game in overtime with how bad offensively, especially, they were last night.
Yeah, I tweeted during the game. I mean, two things were definitely true. One, Indiana never gave up, so credit Indiana. There is, you know, we can dissect everything this season as we have. We do every week. Matt, you do it every day on your show. But one thing that Indiana has done this year is they haven't given up. Yeah, they're not getting blown out in any games. So they didn't give up last night. And the second part of it was Northwestern is just not very good and had a chance to close the door a couple of times and didn't do it. And that's typically, you know, you only get a couple chances to win a game. It's the same thing happened for Indiana at Wisconsin. They had two chances to win that game and didn't take advantage of their time, and then they ended up getting beat. Same thing happened in Northwestern last night, where they have a chance in regulation to really close the door and in the game. They didn't do it. And then again in overtime, the same thing happened. And then in double overtime, Indiana was able to take advantage. Indiana's a better team. And you, like I said, you can't give teams multiple chances to stay in a game. Ultimately, it comes back to bite you. So that's what happened with Northwestern last night. But for Indiana, it's a good win. Any win right now is a good win. And it was a game they needed to win. It wasn't the prettiest win, but at this point, when we look back on it, look at the box score, it still shows that they won. It'll help you know, with their overall numbers, their computer numbers are still right now good enough to have them in the conversation, probably on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble. And it kind of shows you, Matt, how quickly things can change. You know, last week's conversation, I tried to, you know, paint an honest picture of kind of what things were at that point, and it was all kind of the truth. And at the same time, I mean, Indiana definitely deserves credit for bouncing back, beating Iowa in a game that it really needed to win, and then doing the same thing against Northwestern. Ultimately, this time of year, it's about just finding ways to win, and Indiana did that last week.
I thought Al Durham, obviously, last night had a huge game. He hit some big shots, had a lot of points. Armaan Franklin was right there with him, but Armaan has been so consistent and solid when he's been healthy that's really not a surprise this year. But Al Durham, big stuff from him last night. More of that if you're Indiana and want to see yourself get closer to an NCAA tournament berth. Another guard playing at that level, helping Trace Jackson Davis, Armaan Franklin, and others could be a big deal.
Yeah, it was definitely the performance that you would expect out of an upperclassman guard late in his senior season, going on the road. Indiana struggled early from the free throw line, but I thought him and Armaan and Al Durham really stepped up and made their free throws late. That was really what got Indiana over the hump. You know, if they would have lost, we would have looked at the free throw line and then missing 11 attempts. But given the way they started, the way they finished was impressive. For them to kind of not let that snowball and ultimately decide the outcome of the game. But Durham's important because, you know, if he can become, you know, at least a reliable third option, it gives Indiana a little bit of something they can count on behind Trace Jackson Davis, who didn't play particularly well last night. Still, that's how good Trace Jackson Davis has been this season. He had a double-double last night, and he didn't really play that well. There was a lot of missed opportunities for him at the rim, didn't play particularly well defensively, but he was still able to get a double-double. And Armaan Franklin, I think, had 23 points. Yeah, he was terrific as well. So, you know, if Indiana, you know, I've written often, it really comes down to Indiana's guard play in a lot of these games. And last night, I mean, they didn't get anything from Rob Fennessy, but Durham and Franklin were good enough to get them over the hump.
Let's talk about Rob Fennessy, and this is not an old topic, or it is an old topic. It's one we've discussed many other times. 2 points, mm-hmm. 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 4 from three-point line, 2 of 5 from the free throw line. That's where all of his points came, the two in the game. He did have 5 assists, but I don't understand what's going on with him.
Yeah, at this point, to me, it looks like his confidence is very shaky. I don't, you know, obviously we don't see practice. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But if you notice when they were walking off the court last night after the win, Archie Miller was grabbing Rob and, you know, congratulating him. It almost seems like to me that Rob's confidence is an issue right now. He's really hesitant a lot of times, and that's not the player that he was early in his career. Even going back to high school, he was, you know, a pretty assertive guy, and I don't know what's behind that. You know, it could be the collection of injuries that he's had over the years and really not finding a lot of success from a team perspective and his inconsistencies. It almost seems like he's accepted that this is who he's going to be as a player, and that's really not what Indiana needs. They need him to be that assertive guy, that guy who kind of sets the tone. And in many ways, I look at Indiana's slow starts that they've had frequently this season, and oftentimes the point guard sets the tone for how you come out, and Finnessy just has not done that consistently enough. So it's definitely puzzling to watch, because – I'm as high on Rob Finnessy as anybody. You know, I really liked him coming out of high school. I thought as a freshman he had a lot of moments that were really promising. Last year he was obviously kind of going through some stuff with injuries. You know, I thought coming into this year he talked all summer about how healthy he was and how good he felt, and it just really hasn't made that big of a difference in terms of his on-court performances. There's games where he's really good and can show that he's, you know, a starting caliber Big Ten point guard, and there's other games where he just doesn't do anything at all. And you know, it's getting pretty late in his career to come to the conclusion that he's going to be anything different than this until he shows or proves otherwise.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. My guests were recapping the IU win in double overtime last night at Northwestern. Jerome Hunter, he was off the bench, checked into the game, actually at one point had a really big three-pointer for this team late. I wasn't sure we'd see Jerome this quick based on what Archie Miller said, and he didn't give any details a few games back about what had happened when Jerome was set as a coach's decision, but it seemed damning. It seemed like a problem. It seemed like something Archie Miller wanted him to pay the price for, to become a better teammate, a better player, a better person. So I was a little surprised in some ways to see him back last night for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he dressed the last game, I think, was a sign that maybe this wasn't going to be a long-term thing. Usually if a guy is suspended and out, for sure, you're not going to put him in uniform, and they did put him in uniform for the last game. So, you know, to see him come off the bench last night, I wasn't necessarily shocked. Jerome Hunter really showed what he can bring from a shooting perspective. The fact that he had the confidence in himself after missing the last two games to take that three-pointer, he dribbled backwards, found the three-point line, and then knocked that three-pointer in to give them a four-point lead at that point. That was just an absolutely huge clutch shot from a guy who can make shots and has talent to be a pretty good player. But hopefully whatever the issue was that forced him to miss a couple games, hopefully that's behind him now, and he can move on and the team can move on and have him be a solid contributor here down the stretch, because Indiana's depth is something that's not been a strength all season. And I think that having Hunter back and available, having his ability to make perimeter shots is definitely a plus.
Alex Bozich, my guest. Alex, Trace Jackson-Davis, 10 points, 14 rebounds. And, boy, I know there were a lot of people uneasy when he had to check out of the game momentarily late yesterday against Northwestern, but he came back, appeared to be, I think, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, solid game for him. He reaches another double-double, but I guess especially his points output last night, maybe not what we're used to, and I think it just shows you how good and how dominant he's been this season when a double-double at 10 points and 14 rebounds, and people are wanting more and wondering what happened last night. But Trace, he wasn't necessarily on last night. He missed some shots I think he normally makes, but last night, just a reminder that, yeah, it wasn't his best performance. He still was pretty good, but, boy, he's had a heck of a season so far, and people just expect so much from him, and he's had to do so much to help this team in all their games and so many of the big wins that Indiana has in the bigger games. He's been the one that has been steady from start to finish for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it really says a lot about how good he is just overall that he can have those numbers, and you still look at it and say he didn't play very well. But that's the truth. He did not play very well. Missed a lot of kind of easy baskets near the rim, or he just didn't go up strong enough. Northwestern, I thought they were trying to be a little bit more physical with him than maybe he expected. I mean, Northwestern defensively coming into the game was one of the worst. They were the worst Big Ten defense, and I think they were 12th in two-point field goal percentage. So I thought Indiana really needed to go inside as much as possible. They didn't do it as successfully as they would have liked. And the other thing with Trace last night, I think that was a little bit problematic, was just his defense in general I don't think was great. I mean, the kid Ryan Young from Northwestern, not a great player, not very athletic of a player, not an explosive player in any way, but kind of had his way with Trace at times around the basket and at the rim, and that really just can't happen against a player like that. But, you know, Trace is not going to be perfect every night. You mentioned there's a lot of expectations on him. I think for the most part he's done a terrific job this year. He deserves all the accolades. He's, in my opinion, going to end up on the first team All Big Ten at the end of the year, assuming Indiana is able to, you know, stay around this 500 mark in conference play. He stayed in the top 10 of the KenPom National Player of the Year rankings pretty much the entire season. So he's definitely not a finished product by any means. He's definitely got things he can get better at. But like I said, it says a lot about a guy when they can have a double-double and you still say they didn't play very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bozich is my guest. You can read all of his coverage, and there's lots of good stuff at InsideTheHall.com from last night's win. Let's look ahead to what's next for this Indiana team. And Ohio State is who's up next. And, boy, they've been playing some good basketball, Alex.
Yeah, they're a surprise team. I didn't really know what to make of them coming into the season just because they had so many departures in the offseason. The Wesson brothers gone. DJ Carton, obviously. We know the story about how things didn't work out for him at Ohio State. Luther Muhammad leaves. And you think, well, they're due for a step back. Their talent's not all that great. And I still don't necessarily think that they have top 10 talent, but they have top 10. Obviously, coaching with Chris Holtman's been terrific. And they've figured out a formula to win games. They've been really good offensively. They've got a pretty good mix of guys that can do a variety of things. Dwayne Washington, their guard, is, I think, really improved. You know, he's always kind of been a streaky guy, but this year he's been a little bit more consistent. And E.J. Liddell is a guy that I just really, really like. Last year, prior to the season, we had him in our top 25 Big Ten players list as a freshman, and he didn't really live up to that. And this year we left him out, and that's proving to be a big mistake because he's another guy that it's really come along as a sophomore. He's been, in my opinion, their best player. He's, you know, an undersized, really, post player, but can score in a variety of ways, is versatile. And he's just a, you know, might not ever be an NBA guy, but he's going to be a guy that really has an impact in the Big Ten in the coming years. And for Ohio State to get him, I believe he was Illinois' Mr. Basketball, for them to go all the way over to Illinois and get him out of there, I think that was a huge recruiting win for Chris Holtman. And Chris Holtman really, I mean, you look at what he's done at Ohio State, taking over for Thad Matta, that's not an easy guy to take over given the success that he had. But Ohio State wanted kind of their program to get back to being successful on a year-in, year-out basis. That's why they decided to move on from Matta, who really took them to a lot of success. And Holtman has come in, made the tournament his first 2 years, would have made it again last year had the season not been canceled at the end there due to COVID. And this year he's got them, I think Andy Bottoms had his bracketology earlier this week on Inside the Hall. He had him as a one seed. So Ohio State's a very formidable team, and Indiana's going to have a really tough challenge on Saturday in Columbus. I think it's a noon tip, so the Hoosiers are going to have to come out ready to play. They're not going to be able to afford to have the slow start that they had at Northwestern and come out with a victory against Ohio State.
talking to Alex Bozich inside the hall. He joins us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball on the program. When you look at the Big Ten Conference, Michigan is still at the top. And Alex, as they return to play at some point, it's going to be interesting to see if they can pick up where they left off. You would think that would be hard to do, but they've got a really good team. Just hard to say when there's been no practice or anything involved. Any word on Michigan? I've not followed it closely here the last few days, but any date set on when they can return to games, return to practice, get back to some normalcy in Ann Arbor?
I think they're practicing again now. My understanding is their first game back is going to be the 14th. So that's Sunday. Does that sound right, Matt? I think Sunday might be. My days are all mixed up here, but I think that's their. They were scheduled to play the 11th, which got postponed because I don't think that they had enough time to practice before to get ramped up for that. So I think they have five games now that they're going to have to try to fit in. Their schedule late is going to be brutal. I won't be surprised if a couple of those games don't get made up. Specifically, I'm looking at the Indiana game that was supposed to be up there, and you look at the dates on the two schedules for both teams, and there's not a whole lot of wiggle room to figure out a way to get that game in. So we'll see. If Michigan's able to play 20, I'd be pretty surprised if that happens, but it may force the Big Ten to go to something like a win percentage metric for determining Big Ten title. If one team plays 20 games and one plays 17 or one plays 18, one plays 19, different totals in games played, there's gonna have to be some compromise there. But Michigan, I agree. I think it's going to be hard for them to just kind of turn the switch back on. You look at their early season results. They weren't great out of the gate. I mean, they played a lot of lower, mid-major teams and had some close wins. Took them a while to get things rolling. I still think they're, definitely, the favorite to win the Big Ten. But it's going to be, I think, a challenge for them to get back into the flow of things after being off so long. It'd be one thing if they were still practicing the entire time, but they were completely shut down for 2 weeks where they didn't even have a chance to go in the gym or do any work. So it was a complete pause in terms of activity and all that. So they're going to have a challenging, reentrance to Big Ten play. This isn't a league that allows you to kind of get your feet under you and have a couple warm-up games. They're going to be thrown right back into the fire, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get rolling quickly, or they are definitely in some jeopardy. I think at the top of the league, there's some teams that have a chance. I think Illinois and Ohio State, the two being the most likely to get challenged them for the title this season.
Alex, we're to the point at IU's schedule and really all of these college basketball schedules where you can kind of count them down. And Ohio State coming up on Saturday, followed by Minnesota, then Michigan State at Rutgers, Michigan at home, and at Purdue. I think, are there still maybe a couple games hanging out there that could be added in or could be rescheduled?
Yeah, there's at Michigan State and there's at Michigan. So I know if I'm Indiana, I know which one I'm more likely to advocate to try to play, and it's not at Michigan. So those are the two that are still out there. But I mean, next week's pivotal for Indiana. I mean, you don't ever assume a loss. I mean, they could go to Ohio State and win, but they got Minnesota and Michigan State at home next week. They got to win those games. Those are both – Minnesota's a team that's probably in right now, but they're going in the wrong direction. And Michigan State's not in right now, and they haven't really beaten anybody great in Big Ten play. I think they have three wins. Two of them are Nebraska, and the other one – well, they beat Penn State the other night, so they got four wins. They beat Penn State, they beat Nebraska twice, and they beat Rutgers. So Michigan State is playing for its tournament life. I think it'd be the first time they didn't make the tournament in 21 seasons. If they miss it. So, next week's huge for Indiana because, at Rutgers, at Purdue, those are both tough. And in Michigan at home, that's another one that's pretty difficult.
Alex, Indiana's 11-8 overall. They're 6-6 mm-hmm. sitting at .500 in the Big Ten Conference. When you look at the six games that are on the schedule, could be one or two more. as we just discussed. How many more does Indiana need to get? Is there a way to come up with a number that you feel pretty comfortable with? If you get here, you're in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to say because we don't know if they're going to make the other two up. But if you just look at the games that they have left, and let's say they don't play Michigan or Michigan State as makeup, so that'd be 18 Big Ten games. They're at 6 wins. I think if they win 2 more, they would be, worst case, 8-10 in the Big Ten, 13-12. They would probably be in, but they probably have work to do in the Big Ten tournament. They probably need to win a game in that. It's anything less than that, I think they'd be in some trouble. So, like I said, next week is pivotal. If they can get those two against Minnesota and Michigan State, I think it puts them in pretty good shape to feel good about their chances. And after that, you know, any win, I think, beyond that would have them pretty safely in. I mean, their computer numbers, they're 45 in the net. They've got some. I mean, the sweep over Iowa is obviously huge, and their other computer numbers, you look at Bart Torvik, you look at Ken Pom, you look at Sagarin, they're in the top 30 of all those. And with the Big Ten strength top to bottom, what Indiana played in terms of the non-conference schedule, I think they'd be in pretty good shape if they get to 8 Big Ten wins. That's assuming they play 18 games. Now, if they play 20, I think they're going to win. I need to figure out, you know, 9 or 10 wins in the Big Ten to feel pretty good about their chances.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, thanks for the chat today, as always, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, as we head to commercial break, here's some dates. The NCAA released this a little earlier in the week. Selection Sunday, March 14th, the first four, which will be played at Mackey Arena and Assembly Hall. Crazy to say that. Thursday, March 18th, and then the first round games, Friday, March 19th, and Saturday, March 20th. Mackey, Simon Scott Assembly Hall, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse, Indiana's Farmers Coliseum, and Lucas Oil Stadium for those first round games. And then second round, the sites get limited a little bit. Bankers Life, Hinkle, Farmers Coliseum, and Lucas Oil. Those are Sunday, March 21st, and Monday, March 22nd. So lots of basketball coming up in our state. Will Indiana, will Purdue, will some of the other Division I teams in our state make the tournament? That's going to be a big question for those programs to answer between now and their respective conference tournaments and, of course, Selection Sunday. Back with a final segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final quick segment here on this Thursday program. I've had a couple people write in over the last week or so and say, what's going on with Sean East, New Albany graduate? Played at UMass his freshman year, transferred to Bradley, got immediate eligibility, and started a lot of games for Bradley, at least through a little earlier this month or through the holidays. But he's been out for a number of games. He missed 2 games this past weekend. He missed, I think, 1 game the weekend before. He had maybe not been starting before that, if I remember correctly. There hasn't been a lot said about it, but I did see a report yesterday that Sean East remains out for medical reasons but is expected to return this weekend when Bradley plays at Missouri State. So not a lot of details. There was an earlier tweet from Bradley from their account that when Sean was out, it was a medical issue but not related to COVID-19. So I know a lot of fans of Sean here in the area, New Albany fans, and just people that enjoyed watching him play alongside Romeo Langford at New Albany, wanting to check in on his well-being. But as far as I know, just a medical issue of some sort, and it sounds like there's a chance he comes back when Bradley plays this weekend at Missouri State. But he's missed three, four games completely, not even been dressed for Bradley. So that is what we know there. Also, a couple of you wrote in to ask what time we were talking about Big Ten things in the IU game on Saturday at Ohio State. That contest is a noon tip-off, and the Minnesota game next Wednesday, a week from yesterday, that tip-off time has not been set yet. But as Alex mentioned, boy, that next week, Wednesday, Minnesota, Saturday, Michigan State, both of those games at home. Minnesota, you'll get a chance to see play Purdue tonight. They beat Purdue at Purdue. That was really their last somewhat big win. It'd be interesting to see how Indiana does with that. Michigan State's, it's hard to believe this, but it's one of those teams, this is one of those Big Ten games this year. You got to win. Minnesota may be a little tougher than that, but next week could be a really big week for the Hoosiers if they can get both of those wins. And also the Saturday game at Ohio State. I know they're highly ranked. I know they're playing well, but this Indiana team has shown they are capable with playing with anybody at given time, and maybe not a full game, but for a portion of the game. But can they put it all together? A big opportunity and a big chance to do that on Saturday at a very good Ohio State team. That's going to wrap things up for today. Coming up tonight, again, some changes in our programming due to weather this evening or weather last night. We will have the girls regional tournament preview show at 6 p.m. tonight on the Big X. It'll run for about an hour and 10 minutes. We'll talk with Silver Creek coach Scott Shane. We'll talk with some of his key players, Jacqueline Emily and Alana Striverson. Also, Angie Hinton, the coach at Lanesville, will join us. And we'll talk with Gracie Adams. She's had a fantastic career at Lanesville, looking to add to that this weekend. And Lindsey Wernert as well will join the program tonight. Chad Gilbert also with us because he's the host of the 3A Regional at Charlestown. And so he'll join us for a chat as well about that hosting and then some of the great players and great talent that'll be in the Charlestown gym this weekend, including Silver Creek, because that's where they obviously play at. Other than that, Mail Manual tonight. We were going to slide over to Louisville and do a big high school game there. It's been postponed due to weather. We'll try to catch up with that at another time. But that's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Don't forget you can find us at a podcast. Most any place you listen to podcasts, all you got to do is search for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here with Dylan Wallace and Kyle Neddenrip. We'll talk a lot of basketball here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.